Morning. Wednesday, hump day. Here on the Daily Weather View. Good morning to you. From Bruce McGee, Weathered Soul. Hope your day's going well. This X Spaces is brought to you by the guys that do the Weather Report. Sundays at 7 p.m. Pacific Time on YouTube. And also on Rumble, podcast drops around 6 a.m. Eastern time for your guys' commute. And, thanks for joining today. Going to work. Freaking Wednesday, hump day. Still got to work. Can't wait till I'm not working. That'll be a good thing. I get to stay home and hug my wife all day. Actually, no, I'm going to go golfing and work out in my garden. But anyway, it was a long night for me. My dog woke up last night with a kind of choking. And wasn't gasping for breath, just kind of sneezing and trying to get something out of her throat. Telling you. Pets sometimes, especially when they get old, start to worry after a while. And what happens is that my dog Sassy, who is 13 years old, she's a schnauzer. She's a rescue. We got her free first day that I picked her up from the rescue place. She cost me $800 because she had everything under the sun. As far as worms, parasites, and all that other stuff. Plus, she had parvo. She's a parvo survivor. And, Well, throughout her whole life, she's had skin problems and things like that. And we finally got those under control after 13 years. We finally got her on a medicine that really works. And now she's really happy and stuff. And she runs around like she's still a little puppy. And even though she's limping around with a little bit of arthritis and stuff, she still likes to eat bugs. And she loves to eat earthworms and snails and all kinds of other things like that. But her favorite ones are the jalapeno-flavored flies. If you don't know what a jalapeno-flavored fly is, she loves house flies. She'll grab those things off the window in a blind second. But anybody who's a dog lover knows who jalapeno flavored flies are, and those are bumblebees. I think she went out last night, sometime in the middle of the night, went out there and either found herself a dead bee or she got herself a live bee, one of the two. But it was the middle of the night. I'm figuring she kind of probably got herself a dead bee. Subsequent stung her in her mouth. Therefore, she was not gagging, she was just kind of, her tongue's all swollen, so that's a telltale sign that that's what she did. And so that's what I dealt with overnight. And a little tired, so that happened about 2:30 in the morning. And once I've been asleep for a couple of hours, it's like taking a nap in the middle of the day. I was wide awake, but trying to get back to sleep about 3:30, quarter to four. And 4:30, my alarm goes off, so it was really kind of a waste of even going back to sleep. But here I am, basically ready to do Wednesday morning with you guys on the way, waiting for a co-host to come in, if they're going to come in at all. Kind of did some stuff late last night. The Daily Weather View wasn't posted until early evening yesterday. Been quite busy at work. Having some computer problems at work because my old laptop died, and we have contracted laptops from a contract that we own at our work, and we had to go get another laptop for me, and I've been working out the bugs on it, and that's Wi-Fi problems because of probably the eclipse. Not sure if that's really the reason why, but that's what was happening. And, it was an interesting day yesterday. But nonetheless, let me introduce you to our sponsors. Our sponsors are Horrible Designs for all your needs of stickers, mugs, stuff that have weird sayings and stuff on it. Go to horribledesigns.com and grab yourself some cool gear. We're also sponsored by Apex Music Systems, Music Making Sense Podcast, Mad Cave Studios. All of those you can get on the web just by typing in just what I said. But like I said before, I'm Bruce McGee, Weathered Soul. Grab me at weatheredsoul.com. Morning, Jason. How you doing, brother?
Doing good. How are you? What about your laptop?
Oh, dude, I got a brand new laptop at work. Not the one at home. The one at home was working perfectly, but the one at work that came from a multi-million dollar company or billion dollar company, they just can't seem to get it right. I hate to be racist, but the IT department here in the USA is so much better than the IT department that's in Bangalore or wherever it is in India. And so I dealt with some registry issues yesterday. I was working on a program. I'm really deep into this project. Guy comes in, takes control of my computer, was going to fix a simple thing, which I told him exactly how to fix it, but I don't have the authorization to fix it. But he decided to erase my registry, and all my settings and everything went away from the program. So I sat there for a good major part of the day, resetting the program the way I like it so I can work. And yeah, that was my day. And then I just got done telling the audience about my dumbass dog who likes jalapeno houseflies.
Those things.
Yeah, those are always fun nights. that was my day. That was my day and my night. So I've been up since about 2:30. Went back to sleep for about 45 minutes. Got up at 4:30, and you guys got this invitation like at 3:30 in the morning or something like that because that's when I was up. And we're running on half empty today, but that's all right. I can run like that.
That's me most days.
That's cool. So anyway, so the episode today is about McDonald's Golden Arches that lately seems to be made of gold, especially here in California. One of the things that happened is April 1st that Governor Newsom's edict on fast food workers' pay went into effect, where all fast food workers in California who have fast food industry that has franchises here in California have to pay their workers $20 an hour now.
Goodbye, fast food in California.
Yeah, and so now McDonald's have come out with their new $25, which costs you about 27 something, 27 and change out the door for a 40-piece or 50-piece Chicken McNugget with a side order of large fries. They won't even kick in a soft drink there. And that's $25 now. Make a little.
Fuck that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I told you guys last week about the $18 Big Mac meal. So, I mean, that is a reality. Yep. I had to see it to believe it. So I went over there, and I don't eat at McDonald's because I don't eat that crap. But I went over there to look at the menu.
Neither do I.
Yeah, I went over to the menu, and it was about $15 and change for a Big Mac meal. This is all large. I mean, you can get a Big Mac meal for cheaper if you want to, if you get the small size. But the Big Mac meal is now $15 and change, and $18 out the door. And just crazy, but it is a blessing in disguise. I mean, if you're talking about wanting to prevent people from eating bad food, I guess only rich people now are able to go to McDonald's and grab their cuisine of sorts. And that's what I like to call it, is cuisine. But Yeah, I don't eat there. Yeah, I stopped eating there once I started having, you know, the health problems with the sodium and the sugar and all that stuff. I mean, I love it. If there's one thing that I do love, I love Jack in the Box. Jack in the Box has what they call breakfast jacks here. It's actually a
Jack off
box. Yeah, a Jack off box, and they usually have a Jack. They have an egg with ham on a hamburger bun with a little bit of mayonnaise and cheese on it. And it is fantastic. But I figured out that the reason why I like it so much is because the bun is full of sugar. And that's the way they get you in.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The bun is nice.
Everything. Right? Sugar is everything.
Yeah.
Speaking of sugar.
Absolutely.
Sugar's also in rum and cokes. There's a little bit of sugar in rum and coke. And last night, this is to your point about McDonald's versus like regular food at a regular place. So there's a bar. I'll give a shout out to the Bobtown Bar and Grill in Roberts, Wisconsin. They have Taco Tuesday night, right? And so you get tacos for $3 a piece, and these things are huge stuffed packed tacos for $3 a piece, and with smoked pulled pork in it, because you know Wisconsin. Ooh. So last night, my wife and I, we went to this place, and we each had three tacos, and I had two giant rum and cokes, and the whole bill was $29. The whole bill. So we could go to McDonald's.
Because you don't have a 20.
We could go to McDonald's, and I still go to McDonald's once in a while because I still like it. I know it's garbage, but half of the shit we eat is garbage anyway, so once in a while I go to McDonald's. And because really, has your mother ever made anything that tastes as good as a McDonald's fry? I don't think so. But anyway, you go there and it's 20. It's
they were,
25. 20,
they were better in the 80s.
25, $8.
Uh oh, we lost.
Did
Ken,
I lose? I did we lose Ken?
Oh, no, there I'm he back. Is. My phone rang. My phone rang. I hate when it does that. Anyway. You might not go to a regular restaurant for basically the same amount of money or $2 or $3 more. You can have a reasonably good meal. They're going to kill themselves is what's going to happen. All these companies, yeah. And a lot of them are doing it because of the wages, because their biggest expenses is the help. It didn't used to be that way. It used to be the food. Now it's the help. And it's going to get automated because you can't do anything else.
It's going to be down there, yeah.
All these
there's a place called.
These people are going to be just completely out of business. It started 10 years ago, and it started with people not liking customer service because you had disgruntled employees that were just assholes.
Right.
And McDonald's and Burger King used to. I worked there in the 80s. It used to be a good place to. You could start there as a high school kid and own the store by the time you're 25 years old if you played your cards right.
Oh, absolutely,
and
absolutely.
It's not like that anymore. Yeah. They've just changed it because now they can't. They have to hire. Much more educated people to run these operations now, because the people they have to manage, they haven't moved up from the bottom. They're like, no, we need to make $20 an hour to basically hand you fries through a window. And sorry, folks,
it's become a career
that's
now.
That's what you do, folks, for a living.
It's become a career.
Tough shit. I don't give a shit. You know what? Some of us killed ourselves to learn skills and continue to do it to make sure that we're not sitting there with our hand out at the end of the day going, oh, I don't have a job now. They closed my store, and
you're too fucking bad.
I remember the last time I got laid off on the way home that day from the job of being laid off. I was able to get another job because I had some fucking skills and I didn't have skills.
Yeah,
these
exactly.
Aren't skills that I learned because I went to college. I did go to college, but these aren't college skills. This is stuff I've learned the hard way. Learning to do stuff by doing stuff a lot of times for fucking free just to learn the goddamn skill. And now I have the skill. So I lose my job. I can find something else to do. And if I can do it and I'm a lazy, jaded
artist.
Son of a bitch. Yeah. But you know what? If I need to, if I lose my job and I need to go work in a body shop, bolting fenders onto Mazdas so that, I can go do that. I know how to weld. I had a house painting business for a while when I was in college. I could paint houses. I could paint interior. It's not rocket science. There's skills that people always need. Learn those fuckers, So yeah. Anyway, then you can afford.
And,
then you can afford to get out of there. Anyway, I'm Harkos like right now in my rant because you've touched a nerve.
Ken, yes. Ken. What should the minimum wage be? If you say anything other than zero, you're wrong.
I don't even hesitate about
right. Zero.
There should be no minimum wage.
Zero.
So when my kid...
The minimum wage should be 0.00.
When my kid was in high school and trying to get a job, trying to find some stuff to do, you know, I watched him trying to get jobs and things like that. So, you know, when you're 15, you have zero skills. You don't know shit from Shinola. And so here's this kid with zero skills trying to find some job. He didn't need to make much money. I mean, $5-6 an hour, he could have learned how to do something. And because of that, he had a real hard time finding a job because you need some skills to start with. He ended up, fortunately, finding a place because he lived with me and had some idea of what cars are like. He knew how to – I showed him how you could change oil and stuff like that. He worked at a place. He started changing oil. They then taught him how to change tires. Then they taught him, you know, how to do an inspection on this and that. He ended up working for a few years at some of these national tire chains. You want to talk about slave driving fucking motherfuckers? Go to Tires Plus or any of those kind of places and watch the way they treat their employees. No one gives a shit about those because they need that. They give a shit about the people that are, you know, at McDonald's. But anyway, long story short, if these kids don't get the entry-level, shitty-paying jobs, they don't ever realize, hey, you know what? I don't like doing this for this much money. I better learn something so I can move up. And the companies now, the base people they're hiring have to be better than that because they have to pay them so much they can't afford the training. And it's created this huge problem. And, you know, people need to look at farms and the way farm families grow up and the kids work. And it's not child labor, any bullshit. It's building a solid structure. So anyway, that's...
Yeah,
that's my
the
rant.
Minimum wage laws have bred mediocrity.
Yes, I agree. Oh, that's totally
you
right.
See, the thing is with your theory, Ken, is that you said that if people don't make that much, then they're going to realize that they need to learn more skills in order to be more valuable. But that's clearly not how 90% of the population works. 90% of the population has victimology psychology, and they're like, oh, well, I'm only making this much because somebody else is greedy. It's not because of me. And so then they petition the government and they go on strikes and all that kind of stuff in order to get more money for mediocrity.
Well, this is what you're proving my point. The realization is that was created in the last 40 or 50 years. That wasn't like that. When people had to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps for the most part, and there wasn't a welfare state to stand there and hand out, and there wasn't a media that was more than willing to say, yeah, you're good, you're okay, the reason why you're at where you're at is because of these people over here. When that starts happening, you're fucked, and that's where we are right now. So the minimum wage thing is put in place. Number one, for the unions, so the unions can get higher wages to keep their coffers filled and their bank accounts filled, so they can put the politicians they want into position, and then that way the politicians can then dole out the money because you, like I said, if you're an entry level person, you don't have any money. So now all of a sudden here, now you're a woman, you're entry level, you don't have a lot of skills, but you have a set of legs. You open them, you get pregnant, the state pays for you. You're going to make sure that you're voting for that person that helped you out in your 20s when you had two kids and weren't married and didn't have any skills and couldn't work, and now you're on welfare. You're going to make sure that that whole section of society, and it isn't black, white, orange, blue, or anything, it's everybody across the board. And now all of this is you can attribute all of this to the minimum wage and the breakdown of the family, which was all also structured into this whole fucking bullshit. But what I'm saying is that the way out of it is to get rid of the minimum wage, which will never happen.
Well, now you're assuming that those people vote
that.
And they
remember,
don't.
Remember that?
That's the thing. You're assuming that those people vote and they don't. Those kind of people, they don't vote for shit. The reason that, you know, if you look at like 40% of the population that is able to vote actually votes in any election, even in the big ones like Obama or fucking 2020. 2020 was the easiest one because they could just sit at home and just fucking vote by mail.
They don't need everyone to vote. They just need enough of them. And there's enough of them that do vote that will vote for this. When you go into inner cities and you see the activists and the people that are activists in the inner cities that are the most You have the people that are arranging it, like the organizers. They're a little higher up on the scale, but the ground workers, the soldiers for this, are those people. They hire them, and then they get the vote out. They get out the vote program worked. And like you said, most people don't vote, but all you have to do is get enough of people in a certain genre to vote, and you're winning every time. And that's what the Democrats have been brilliant at for the last 50 years, and that's what's happening. So these people, when you go to a bunch of people that say, all right, you know, we're going to take all this welfare away, or all this welfare you got is going to go away, and all these helpful, all these programs are going to go away if you vote for this guy over here. But if you vote for our guy, it'll be okay. They bus them into they drive buses to the apartment buildings, and they get people in the bus. They bring them right to. I've been involved in it. I mean, I know this exactly what happens. So, what you're saying more in the more rural counties and stuff is 100% right. They just don't go vote. They just say fuck it. But they're not as affected by it as the people in the cities. In the cities is where all the people are. So that's how you get Ilhan Omar to get 75% of the vote. When she got 75% of the vote, she got when she was, you know, when she ran last time in 22. And you can't tell me it's because no one's voting. So the people that are voting is the problem. It's the uneducated voter. And that's where the problem is. So the organization.
Well, then maybe we should go back to where only people who own land can vote.
I'm down with that.
But, you know,
it's what it is.
Then you're only going to have 20% of the population voting, because 80% of the population is useless eaters who just rent everything and don't know how to manage money, everything like that. And I think that's where we get into a lot of the problem, too, is that the management class, they want that useless idiot block to manage, because that's what gives them their power and that's what they can exploit.
So
I think poor people manage money very well, because the system that we have and the fiat currency
allows them to spend it as quick as possible, and they
spend it as quick as possible, which means it gets the people who know how to spend that money, and those people who know how to spend that money also know how to lobby Washington to be able to get themselves more money, be able to get themselves more money to send down to the poor people that'll spend money on the products that they get. I mean, it's a perfect, whether it's trickle up or trickle down, it really doesn't matter. You can give the money up on the top and those products and stuff is going to trickle down to the poor plebs down here, or you can give the money to the poor plebs, and they're just going to turn around and spend that money on goods and services that are going to help out the people that do know how to use money, just like us. And we know how to make money, you know, and it doesn't matter whether it comes from the top or the bottom. We're going to be ahead because we've learned how to use money, and we've learned how to make money. We've learned how to use money. We know how to live money, and that's just what do I want to call it? It's an experience. It's a skill set that some people just are not or will not learn.
Well, I mean, I think that the biggest problem with this stuff, with minimum wage and all that stuff, is that these organizations have to keep themselves going in order to perpetuate their own existence. Like, I was listening to Jimmy Dore the other day, right? And of course, they were driving me up a wall talking about, you know, their point of view. Like, I agree with them a decent amount, you know what I'm saying? But when they start talking about labor shit, they go off the fucking rails, right, in my opinion. But they even said something and didn't notice they said it. They said that, you know, in California, the Fight for 15 organization is the one pushing for the $20 an hour minimum wage. And I'm like, hold on. The Fight for 15 people, if they already achieved their goal, they shouldn't exist anymore, right? Oh, wait, they're just like the unions. They're another mafia-like organization that has to keep fucking exploiting their fucking useless population in order to keep gaining more and more power and stay relevant. So if the Fight for 15 organization is fighting for a $20 an hour minimum wage, they've surpassed their expectation. They don't need to exist anymore.
The Fight for 15 was union people. union people is who starts those. Every state that goes around that has the minimum wage laws, it's the union people that they put in place by, it's like proxy wars. It's like what we're doing in all our little proxy wars.
Right.
It's a proxy war against the population. And these are always union people. When you trace the people that are in those organizations, you can always trace them back to a union payroll.
Right. But what I'm saying is their organization,
they crush their company.
Yeah, their organization is literally called Fight for 15 still. And they're like, we're the Fight for 15 organization. We're fighting for $20 an hour minimum wage. It's like, hold on. You already won the 15. Well, shouldn't you change your name at least? Fucking shit, goddamn it. It's called branding, you know?
Yeah, a little branding message would be good. It should be Fight for 30 is what I should say.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, why not 50? Why not 100? Why not?
Exactly.
You know,
yeah, exactly.
You know, why not?
And see, they call it. Then
as long as the wage goes up, the prices of goods and services are going to go up. And the stupid people out there that are fucking uneducated just do not understand that there's not going to be this miracle thing where everybody's going to be able to afford everything because we've raised prices up or raised wages up so much that it balances out the means and demand of the companies that are making products.
Well, Bruce,
it's crazy.
That's just because of the greedy corporations, man. It's not because of the reality of economics. It's because of greed. And you know what? They have some basis to stand on that. Whenever they say the CEO makes 600 times that of the average worker, right? Okay, when you got those kind of stats, you can kind of have a little bit of basis to stand on, you know, because like what Jimmy and them were saying, they were like, you know, back at one point in time, the CEO only made 60 times more than the average worker. And according to them, they thought that was okay. Like, but now they make over 600 times the average worker. And it's like, okay, when that happens, you have legs to stand on. And whenever companies, like these big corporations, are taking all their profits and they're putting it back into stock buybacks instead of, you know, raising wages for their employees and stuff like that, those kind of practices give these fuckers, you know, hey, we need to have a better living wage. It gives them more legs to stand on. So it's kind of like a double-edged thing.
I make more money than the CEO of my company.
Right. And that's positive, right? When I arrived to work at the restaurant, I was making more than the fucking owner of the restaurant too. You know what I'm saying?
And what is the reason? And tell me, why is that? What is the reason why that is?
Because I was running the motherfucker and he was just doing whatever he wanted.
No, the reason why I make more than my CEO is because my CEO is what he does for the company profits. Number one, he's got to pay his employees. He's got to pay his employees to keep his employees because you know, there's a lot of us employees there that were in demand in this job market. And also, he stuffs every bit of profit and stuff like that back into his company so that when he retires, which is going to be in about 15 years, and he's going to be able to sell off his company. And that is the day that he gets paid. And you know, I kind of like it. I mean, I think that's the way it is. I mean, he lives very well. I mean, he does live very well. But in reality, his pay dollar for dollar is probably, I would say, probably 80% of mine. I would say. You know, because most of the time, he gets tax write-offs and everything.
Well, that's properly run, and I'm getting near work here. I'm going to have to go in minute or two here. But when people get the CEO pay and the price gap, I go through the roof. I'm like, listen, motherfuckers, the CEO of Ford is not the average worker. These CEO class people, the work that they do and what they have to do, is way above and beyond what that average worker. In fact, that average worker would probably get laid off if a good CEO wasn't on top. There are bad CEOs, of course, and those companies don't work out, and it's bad. But if you're a company that's making $6-7 billion a year, and your CEO is making $200 million, and the guy on the floor is making $17 an hour, that's because the guy on the floor doesn't have the skills that CEO does makes. Now,
my CEO works 7 days fucking a week. He's there before I get to work. He's there before I get to work. And he's there after I leave.
Right. You see their trips to Vail and all these kind of things like this. And people say, oh, they fly around in corporate jets. People don't have time. I worked at a company. We had a corporate jet. And it's because it was the most efficient way to get the most people of value around. And it made perfect sense because of that. And you know, it was. I've seen. I'm not a CEO. I'm not any some huge money person. I live hand to mouth, just like the rest of us. But I see what a good CEO has done and what a bad CEO has done.
Me too.
The last company I was at, before we left the last company, they put a bad CEO in there. And that guy, I know for a fact what he was making because they declared bankruptcy, so things went public. He was making $375,000 a year, and which was more than double what the previous guy was making. Now, the previous guy built it into a $90 million company. This guy took that $90 million company and put it in bankruptcy within 6 years. And so yeah. the idea that the CEOs have no recourse and this and that, it's like, you know what? If you want to look at a CEO that's really a bad club of people that are really not doing their work, look at the superintendent of schools club. Watch what happens with superintendent schools around the country. These are guys that are all six-figure guys, even seven-figure guys sometime, that are just – they just bounce from school system, fucking it up as they go. But anyway, with that – horrible disappointment, as they say on Top Gear. I'm at work, and I'll be listening in later, but we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
All right.
All right, man. Take care. Take care, Ken. Thanks for coming in. Yeah, so, it's kind of tying this all up to the point that I was making. I wanted to tell Ken, I'm going like, I don't know how you guys are, but I know Car Coach, you don't eat McDonald's. I'm pretty sure that Jason doesn't eat McDonald's.
I can't eat it.
But you said,
I cannot eat it.
Yeah.
That's good. Most people shouldn't eat it.
Since my daughter and I both have celiac, I've tried ordering the stuff without a bun and telling them that we have a gluten allergy. Because if you tell them that you have celiac, they're like, huh, what's that? So you have to tell them gluten allergy. But every time I've tried that, I still get fucking sick. So I just gave up and I don't even bother going to McDonald's at all. And their fries... Their fries were better back in the 80s when they actually fried them in beef tallow. And now that they fry all their shit in seed oil, fuck that.
Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to talk to you about. Is that, have you guys gone to the seed oil thing? Is that it? Is that a national trend? Is that what it is?
Yes, it is.
Okay, that's what I thought. Because I didn't know whether anybody used beef tallow to their fries.
Almost nobody uses beef tallow. Almost everyone switched to seed oils back in the 80s. And if you look at the trends, you'll start seeing the obesity rate going up in the 80s. And that seems to coincide with when they removed beef tallow from frying.
Yeah. And there's the obesity rate, but there's also the obituity rate, right? And people are becoming more bitch now as well too, because these seed oils.
Are giving them tits.
Well, there's that too. They're getting tits and they're being little bitches and everything like that. They're very emotional because the vegetable oil that they use is not a bunch of different vegetables put into oil. It's one vegetable and one vegetable only, and that is soy. And a lot of it is GMO soy. And so what you're doing is you're adding all this soy, which has a natural-based estrogen inside of it. Soy has a natural-based estrogen just naturally, yes, right? Does. You're putting all that into the fucking food system. Everybody's eating it. So, and then all, like, most of the women are on birth control now as well too. They have been for decades. And so all that extra estrogen is in their bodies and also going into the water supply to the city. Right, they're all eating it in their food, all this extra soy. So everybody has a heightened level of soy and estrogen in their body. So the women are maintaining a higher level of estrogen, which causes a lot of issues with them, a lot of estrogen-based cancers, as well as the emotional situations that they have now as well too. And then when they have children, their children are born in an environment with an extremely heightened environment of estrogen. So then they come out and be little bitch boys. And then whenever they're eating all the fucking soy and getting that soy milk latte at Starbucks and shit like that, they turn out to be soy bitches and everything like that as well too.
And that's
causing all kinds of shit.
Yeah, and that's why the
and you're in the league. And,
well, that's why a lot of the people who are the soy boys, that's why they're so fucking emotional.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's absolutely right.
I know a bunch of them out here in California. So since we're on the subject of fast food, I'm gonna assume that Jason doesn't eat any fast food ever.
The only fast food that I would actually that I do once in a while is either Culver's locally, only because the Culver's in Lakeville, Minnesota, they do a bang up job when you tell them gluten allergy. They switch their gloves, and they put a lot of care into it. Five Guys also is someplace that I can also eat. My daughter and I can both eat because their fries, although it's fried in peanut oil, I don't eat the fries, but the only thing that's fried there is the French fries.
So we're going to get into a discussion probably in the next couple of episodes on that disease, celiac disease. I'm curious about the preparation stuff on that. But I want to turn it over to Harcos real quick. So Harcos, you do DoorDash, Uber Eats, and all that stuff. I know that's kind of what you do. So do you do any fast food at all? And if you do, what's your favorite?
Yeah, so sometimes I eat fast food. I don't do it while I'm working anymore, unless like I absolutely have to, because it takes away from my money, obviously. So I try to make sure that I'm bringing food with me from home and stuff like that I cook. But whenever I do eat like a fast version of a food, it is like the higher quality stuff. So I'll go to Culver's, or like I'll end up getting takeout from like a restaurant. Like that's the kind of shit that I'll do. So like I do go out to eat, you know, and then like sometimes I get Papa John's, you know what I'm saying, or something like that. But most of the time, if I get pizza, it's Indiana's best pizza, which is like Arnie's or Pizza King, which is the best pizza ever been made. You know, I'll get stuff like that. So whenever I do get stuff that's not homemade, I try to get good quality stuff. There's also this Mexican. It's not really like a Mexican restaurant, but it's like a Mexican style restaurant. It's kind of like a Subway for Mexican food type of situation where they have like all the stuff and you just kind of like, oh, let me get a burrito with this and with that, you know what I'm saying? And they kind of make it right there.
Yeah, we call that a taqueria here.
Okay. But
yeah, we call that a taqueria.
Well, they have one here that's ran by all Chinese people. And it's fucking amazing. It's amazing, bro. I'm telling you, they always have like one token white guy that works there. But besides that, like it's ran by all Asians. So I call it the Asian Mexican restaurant. And it's fucking awesome, dude, because like that place is really good. They make everything in-house. Like they get just a big ass bag of rice and make it. They get the beans and then they fucking make them. They get the raw meat and fucking cook it. The tortillas, they even make their own dough and put it through this machine that flattens it and puts it onto a hot stone.
That is the mark.
And then it cooks on a hot stone.
Dude, that is the mark of a great Mexican restaurant, is when you know that you can go in there and you're getting homemade tortillas.
Yep.
You're getting homemade tortillas, that means you're getting homemade everything.
The Chinese do it right,
and,
man.
That's the way that I measure a Mexican restaurant. That being said, for the taquerias here, that's what I eat when I eat fast food, is because most of the taquerias here, they'll use, you know, canned stuff and stuff like that. But there are taquerias around here that make their own. They'll make their own tortillas and stuff like that. And they're basically making them out of, you know, they're going beyond and above what they were mandated to do, because they're not using seed oils to make their food. They're actually using animal fat, and they're not using lard. They're not using Crisco. They'll use lard and animal fat to do all that stuff, because that is kind of the crux of Mexican food. Everything has lard in it. But
yeah. Well, see, what's interesting, you know, is that this place is ran by all Chinese people.
Yeah.
I don't know who owns it, but like it's always stats with just Asians. That's it. And it's fucking awesome, right, man. Like I said, they make everything in-house, and it's probably cheaper, too. They probably make more money doing this. Instead of buying all the pre-made tortillas and shit like that, that are decently expensive, they're just buying, like, big-ass bags of flour. You know what I'm saying? Like, this fucking dirt cheap. And then they just make it themselves. Yeah. And then, like I said, they have this machine that they put the dough ball into. It flattens it and puts it on a hot stone. And then it spins around on the hot stone until it's done. And then they flip it or whatever, and then it's done. And it only takes a couple of seconds, and then they're good to go.
There's nothing like watching my grandma freaking make up a bunch of freaking tortillas, man. She didn't have a press or anything, man. She'd just get in there, and her hands were just, She had the knack, you know, and she had this little bowl, and she made those things to fit that bowl every time. And there's nothing like having a hot tortilla off of her little hot plate there with a little butter on it and stuff like that. That's kind of like Mexican heaven, dude. Mm-hmm. And you know, I know you tease me sometimes about being real white, man, but when it comes to Mexican food, I know Mexican food because I grew up on real Mexican food, man. And, man, I miss that. I really miss that. But, yeah, when I go out and when I do fast food, like last night, you know, I do pizza. I do Straw Hat Pizza, which is a franchise that started out here in California. And they got the best pizza around. They have a fight between them and Round Table Pizza, and Round Table Pizza is trash. But pizza and taquerias, that's about it. Once in a while, I'll dabble in some Taco Bell, but not very often with the Taco Bell because that's pretty much trash.
Yeah, it's garbage, trash, man. Trash, that's been garbage since I worked there in 2004.
Dude, I love the enchilada, man. Believe me, I like the old timey stuff that they got rid of. They don't get that stuff anymore. Now they got this stuff that's just packed full of I don't know what it is. You know, it's a thousand ways to use taco meat, right?
Yeah.
But back in the day, we used to have what they called an enchilada, and an enchilada was just a beef and onion burrito that was in this tray, and they just put enchilada sauce on.
Yeah.
I mean, most people call that a wet burrito now, but they don't even have those anymore. And then the other one, one of my favorites that they had there was a bell beefer, and all that was taco meat that was in a hamburger bun. And at that time, the hamburger buns weren't all sugary and everything.
Right. Yeah, it's all about finding the good stuff. I mean, because the thing is that you can go and get some fast food that is good quality. You know, it doesn't have to be McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, you know what I'm saying? Shit like Arby's, KFC, Popeyes. You don't have to get none of that shit. You can go, you can get takeout from a regular restaurant and pay about the same, you know? And have a little bit higher quality food and stuff, you know. And but the thing is too, excuse me, that it's all about. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, Culver's is like the lowest fast food that I eat, you know. And they're pretty decent, you know. They put butter on all their stuff and everything, so it's good. But I mean, I'm sure they do still use vegetable oil for the fryers and shit like that. But but yeah, I mean, like, people just got to realize, like, you know, the people that eat at McDonald's are the ignorant masses, you know. And then what really drives me crazy is that these people are like, oh, well, we eat well, but my little 4-year-old just loves McDonald's. It's like, it wouldn't love McDonald's if you never gave it to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, stop being a lazy parent. You're killing your kid.
So, speaking of that, Harkos, my son, who does not have celiac, he didn't actually have McDonald's until he was probably 5 years old, and he had it the first time. So, the nice thing about having that is that he was never able to have it, and he only is able to have it when my daughter is not around. But it's like once a year type thing that he's able to have it as sort of a treat, because he can do it.
Well, see, one thing I realized is so, like, you know, my kids, like, they used to eat that stuff here and there and everything, and they liked it. Well, the less that they started, you know, the less that we're like, no, we're not having that shit, the less that we start having it, when they did have it, they would get stomach aches. And so then they're like, fuck that, I'm not eating that because I get a stomach ache, right? And so voluntarily, they're like, no, fuck McDonald's, fuck Burger King, fuck all that shit, you know what I'm saying? Without me even having to say anything about, no, that's poison, right? You just don't give it to them that often. Then when they do have it, they're like, oh, God, you know, because if you have them, if you feed your kids real food 97% of the time, when they go out and eat the bullshit, then they'll be like, oh, God, you know? But when it's when you get in the habit of eating it all the time, your body adapts, you know? And so, you know, when you eat it all the time, all the time, all the time, your body adapts. And then, you know, you don't notice what it's doing to you. You don't notice the slow decay, you know what I'm saying, that's going on. Yeah. And
right,
so,
right. It's a slow exactly. It's a slow
that's what
decay.
It is.
So I got one last question. I got one last question on this subject, because we all live in – well, we live in a welfare country, so there's welfare everywhere. Every state has it. And my state, and I'm sure that Minnesota does, so I'm curious if Indiana does the same thing. We have what they call EBT here, which is Minnesota does. So does McDonald's and the fast food chains accept EBT?
They're starting to here.
Oh, they're starting to that. Okay, because here it's all over. I mean, they accept EBT cards everywhere. And I think it's in one sort of fact that it's like, okay, so you need to feed your kids. So, you should be able to go to McDonald's. And there's no dollar menu at McDonald's anymore. So I guess that the people that really just wanted to get calorie-dense food for a buck, or something like that. If you're a single mom struggling to make it, you have an EBT card, you would go to McDonald's to get your kids something to fill their stomachs and make them feel full, even though it's the crap that they got. But now that they've got this $20 minimum wage and there's no dollar menu anymore, now they've got to make this choice that now they're addicted to this fast food. It's going to drain their money out of their EBT faster. I just think of this as a nefarious thing that they've gone and done. And like Ken said before, all backed by the unions to either separate yourself from more of your money and make things even more scarce for you. I mean, I think it was a terrible idea to be able to get fast food from EBT.
Well, it's just like how you can buy soda with your EBT at the grocery store. You know what I'm saying? But And the reason that you're allowed to do that is because those corporations start funneling money to the politicians, and then the politicians say, yeah, we can do that. And then it's corporate welfare. Right. That's all it is. It's just like the reason we still subsidize the oil industry. It's all corporate welfare. Yeah. And it perpetuates a cycle that we have to maintain. We have to keep giving the oil companies subsidies, because if not, gas will be $25 a gallon. You know what I'm saying? There's no $3, $5 a gallon gas without gas subsidies from the federal government. And that's the same way with all this food and stuff, too. The federal government subsidizes all these farmers and shit like that. They subsidize a lot of these businesses. And now, in order to maintain, like, with the rising food costs, and people are like, you know, all these fast food companies are like, hey, you know, our main customer are these poor motherfuckers, and now these poor motherfuckers are not able to afford our bullshit food, because even though it's poison and it's killing them, they still want to buy it, but they can't buy it as much because they don't have as much money. Hey, here, let me pay you, politician, make it to where they can accept EBT here, right? And so now they're accepting the EBT and they're getting more money. Well, what that's going to do, like you said, is that's going to drain the poor people with EBT faster. And so now guess what's going to happen next? They're going to raise EBT. They're going to allow, yep, right, they're going, right, to, they're going, exactly, to increase EBT.
So that begs the question on, in a level playing field, let's say that everything was gone in a level playing field where there was no subsidies anywhere. Even if we were paying $25 a gallon for gas, I would think that in a level playing field that you would be able to afford $25 a gallon gas.
Yeah, because in a level
playing field,
the price of everything would all be relative to each other. You know, that's the thing, is that a gallon of gas
would be worth the amount of labor that goes into it. And so then the amount of labor that goes into it would be paid properly and all of that. So it would actually even out. Without these subsidies, things would still even out because things would have to be priced at the amount that they're purchased.
Yeah. Because people always argue with me. They go like, well, it was different back in the 60s when you were paying. Cause I remember gas being like 25, 30 cents a gallon. Yeah. And that was back in the day before Nixon had cut totally the gold standard off of the monetary system. And back in the days, I don't think that there was that many subsidies for the oil petroleum industry. I mean, they were probably starting and things like that. But you didn't see that spike in prices and inflation until the gold standard was completely obliterated. And then when we started getting the fiat money, well, we could print our way out of anything. And that's when inflation really started to ramp up, and we've never seen an end to it. I mean, prices have gone up, wages have not kept up, and the only reason wages haven't caught up is because people won't go out there and educate themselves and make themselves educated enough to go out there and be the go-getter and go compete with these people that also at the same token put artificial ways of barriers of getting into that position. So
why would they compete if the government is sitting there saying, hey, you know, it's based psychology. It's like, hey, look, I'm here with the solution to your problem. Those people over there are the ones, they're trying to keep you down. I will help you. All you got to do is give me more power, and I will make sure that these mean people over here get what they deserve coming to them and stuff like that, right? I'll make sure, you know, they're doing this to you. You're not doing this to yourself. That's what is perpetuating all of this, is that politicians have learned that that's how you get and maintain control is by – it's just like with sales and stuff like that, right? If you're trying to sell a weight loss thing, you don't say, hey, you fat fuck, stop being a lazy piece of shit. You tell them, you say, hey, it's not your fault. You were born with a slow metabolism. Let me help you out. It's not your fault. You know, we can get this fixed for you, right? You tell people it's not their fault, and then you come in with a solution for them, right? And that's exactly what the politicians do. They're like, it's not your fault, it's the greedy corporations. We will take care of them, when in reality the greedy corporations pay them all their money that they actually get. You know what I'm saying? These motherfuckers only make like $100,000 a year or whatever the fuck in politics, and then like they're worth millions and millions of dollars. It's not because they're geniuses, because most of them are fucking useless idiots.
Right. Ken just texted and says gas prices have more to do with refineries and government lack of allowing drilling than subsidies. I'll tend to agree with that, with what Ken had to say. At the same breath as he's saying that, subsidies and corporate welfare have a lot to do with the way the prices are done here in the States and all around the world. I mean, this is not just a United States thing. It's around the world thing. I think the World Economic Forum and all their cronies have their hands deep inside the economics of this whole world we call the Earth, you know, and the world economy. And I don't see anything other than what we do, Harkos and Jason and Ken do, to alleviate the situation, because there's always going to be lazy people that don't want to do anything and they want the government. They've always been used to the government taking care of them. So why not have the government take care of me? And I'm comfortable here in my little apartment, and I don't have any aspirations to do anything else but to you know, just survive. I mean, I guess it's survival. I guess there's a difference between surviving and living, and I'd rather live than just survive.
Well, it's because they're hopeless, and they've been fed false hope that somebody's going to come in and save them.
They're poor,
so they're not actually building up their own self. You know, that's the thing, is that
when we talk about Yeah, when we talk about the poor people, when we talk about the mentality of the poor mm-hmm. versus the mentality of the broke yep. versus the mentality of, yeah, exactly. Just like Jason says, there's a difference between broke and poor. Yeah. And poor is an attitude.
Yeah, broke is able to be fixed.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, great conversation, guys. We didn't get to any of the news that I had all stored up, but that's okay because hey, this one subject took up the whole time, man. It was great. It was great talking to you guys. I want to thank you guys again for piping in as you usually do. Like I said, it was a long night for me, so I'm going to go try to get some work done and concentrate on my work and probably go home and go to sleep because it was a long night for me. And unfortunately, my dumb dog's going to eat jalapeno flies forever. And that's just the way it is.
There you go.
I got plenty of doggy Benadryl, so we're good. Anyhow, hey, before we leave, Harkos, does your dogs, do they like bumblebees? They eat bees and shit like that?
I'm sure they eat them sometimes, but I've never like had an okay. issue with them like, you know, being like, bees. Like, they'll just try to kill everything.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, my dog prefers bees. But anyway, that's a story for another day because we already talked about that story already. there's that. Okay, well, we'll see you guys tomorrow. We do this every day, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. on my commute to work. You guys can listen in on X. So we will hit this podcast hopefully by noon today because I screwed up and didn't even post it until like 6 or 7 last night. But I try to get this one posted by noon. And thank you, Harkos, for Music Making Sense and Apex Music Systems. Jason from Horrible Designs and Ken from Mad K Studios. I'm Bruce McGee, the Weather Soul. You can get me at WeatherSoul.com. I'll leave you with this. You guys have a great day.
You too.
Be good to yourself.
Yeah.
All right. Take care, guys. All right. Boy.
Bye.